Blog Talk Radio.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. Wash my hands. Oh, Lord, yeah. Stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour.
judgment God is calling. On the knees the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sin. Satan laughing spreads his wings.
It's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I will be your host, and wow. Well, Rod, if you've ever seen, there was a reality show on the Osbournes, and I couldn't watch more than about 10 seconds of it when Ozzy would open his mouth to speak. It just made me want to pull my hair out because the man was... he just could not iterate English in any discernible form. The guy is just out there. But, you know, Barbara, I don't know, quite honestly, and never really delved that much into Black Sabbath. That particular song, however, the lyrics of it is, I think appropriate today as it was when Ozzy wrote it and played it with, Black Sabbath, talking about the war machine and, you know, him saying that, God will have his judgment day. So I can't give you an honest opinion or answer as to whether Ozzy is a Satanist or not. I think he did a lot of things for sensationalism. But yes, hand of God has struck the hour, and he talks about Satan laughing, spreads his wings, and the whole idea of Black Sabbath, or the death day, the day of reckoning, if you will. You know, it seems to me that perhaps Ozzy was trying to warn people that God is going to have his judgment day. I don't know. So, but certainly appropriate, and I think even more appropriate because of the name on this day of all days, Black Sabbath, and the movement that we see by small segments of the black community calling for war against whites. And I just wonder, honestly, if any of these fools realize the damage that they are doing to the black community as a whole, and they're honestly answering fools according to their folly. They're throwing fuel on the hatred fire of racism that exists within a segment of the remainder of society. racist against blacks simply because they're black. And they're really generating a lot more animosity than would otherwise be there. I mean, let's face it, racists are going to be racist whether they're black or white. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see any of the Hispanics or whites acting up. The only reports I saw were, of course, the comments from Malik Shabazz or whatever the heck that nut job's name is from the new Black Panther Party. I haven't heard a lot from Trayvon Martin's family, and I don't believe that they're involved in any of this. Some of the tweets and the other junk that's being stirred about on the internet. You know, the whole situation is tragic. And a lot of things could have happened differently, but they didn't. And fortunately or unfortunately, however you determine to look at it, whatever your opinion is, there simply was not enough evidence to convict Mr. Zimmerman of much of anything. And I know some people are upset right now because the administration is talking about, you know, looking into whether or not there were any civil rights violations. And honestly, I can understand why they would do that. I think they almost have to do something like that, even though it's relatively clear at this point that, you know, there's really no grounds for any civil rights action or movement towards Mr. Zimmerman. I believe I have Miss Linda Sills on the line. Miss Linda, is that you?
Yes, hi, how are you doing?
Not bad. You made it through the TSA.
I gotta tell you that story. But I'm stuck in Denver because they wouldn't let us leave Indianapolis until, like, I think it was a 45-minute delay because they weren't letting them go off to come to here because they had thunderstorms. It's a mess. So instead of just figuring out what to do correctly, oh, no, we have to have a three-hour delay because I got here at, I think it was 4:30 their time and 7:30 their time. I'll be
That's
on a plane. That
is fantastic. If you've got a three-hour delay, you actually have time to meander through the airport and find the murals.
But if I find them and I have to come back through TSA, I will kill myself. So it's like what they did. These guys, you're going to laugh because we've already heard the story before when I talked to you guys in Delaney, how ridiculous they are. Well, they didn't find anything on my T-shirt, so that wasn't a problem. But lo and behold, these chicks cannot keep their hands off me. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. Because what's showing up is the hardware in my back from when my surgeon put it in there. Oh, my God. She says, oh, there's something in below your waist in your lower back. And I go, yeah, back surgery. So she's feeling around. She lets me go. But they're like Nazis. I'm not kidding. You should have seen them lined up over there.
You should have told her, oh, that's my RPG. Don't worry.
I just, you know what I was thinking after all that was going on? I was thinking I want to live long enough and serve on a jury at their similar Nuremberg trial. That's what I want to do. I get so angry. I'm serious. That would make me want to live for a long time just to do that.
You know, I've got to, you have inspired me to get in touch with my buddy Mike Church. He does some of the best parodies, as you are aware. I think he should do one, you know, that song, One Love, One Heart, you know, Let's Get Together. I think he should redo that and remake it as One Glove, the TSA song. I'm sure if anyone could do it, he could make it happen.
Yeah, and it's One Glove, bright blue, in your face. Oh, my God.
Right. One glove.
I mean, they're Day-Glo blue. I'm not kidding. They're disgusting. Oh. And you know what? I look around and I see these people, and they're not upset by this. I don't understand it.
I get pissed taking my shoes off. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I
know.
It's utterly ridiculous. It's beyond utterly ridiculous.
Well,
they just want to make sure you know that you're controlled.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's very degrading and subjugating, as you know. It's by design. But I'm so glad we got to be together. I know Terry got home safely. She has a brand new John put in. Everything's cool. Because Yola is texting me. And I guess I don't know when they're getting back to New York. So my time schedule is all messed up.
Yo and Nick must be home because I saw Yo had signed in on Skype. And Linda
was in
the chat, Terry was in the chat. But she had to bail. She was pretty wiped out. And
I see
we have Mr. Bill Strong joining us in the chat room. So a shout out to Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Miss Terry is trapped in Denver.
No, me, Linda.
Miss Linda, I'm sorry.
Terry's in Virginia.
See, now you guys
are
wearing off on me. You got me doing it, doggone it. Oh, man, I'll tell you, my whole day has been messed up.
Yeah.
But I do have great news. My daughter-in-law is currently at the hospital. Her water is broken, or they broke her water, and she is giving birth to little Lucas, who's not so little. They did a sonogram this morning, and they're estimating him to be 10 pounds, 1 ounce.
Oh, my Lord. that poor woman. Oh, my God.
Soon we will have a new member of the family.
Yay! Oh, my gosh. How proud, Grandpa.
Absolutely. It's the only thing that keeps me going.
I know. And we got to say one more shout-out. Thank you to Bill and Jolene and everybody. I mean, all these people were amazing. And Brittany, God bless her, all of them.
Bill, Brittany, Miss Jolene, Chad.
And Chad, if he's listening, I hope he is.
Wolford, all the guys that came and played, Boomer, all the other folks, Scott, I know there's people I'm leaving out, but everybody, it's a great time. And, you know, Bill really went out of his way putting this stuff together, and, you know, I really appreciate all of his hard work and effort to make everything kind of come together. And next year, bigger, better, more people.
That'd be great.
We're going to try and hopefully get a little more organized, put it together. I think the idea of having people come in and play music was great. I think we ought to set it up as a concert.
Wow.
And just a bash of a family reunion. And
sure.
You know, it was interesting, and I don't know if I mentioned it while I was there, but on the road that we took into Delaney Creek Park, there's an old cemetery. And as we drove by, my wife noticed, she said, hey, there was a headstone that said Golden in there.
Wow.
So when we went back through on our way out, we stopped and took some pictures, and there were actually five family members buried there with the last name Golden. And, you know, dating back to the 1800s. So,
good grief.
Don't know if those are members of my extended family or not, but, you know, I was just talking about all of the real stupidity surrounding this Zimmerman trial.
And, oh, my God.
You know, the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and then the Malik Shabazzes out there.
God.
They are doing more to damage the black community.
Of course.
Than, you know, the anti-civil rights movement. back in the 60s that they fought so vehemently and rightfully to overcome. And they're putting themselves in a worse position. You know, granted, there are those people out there that just despise blacks because they're black. But those people that are kind of, you know, on the fence or I guess what I'm trying to say is they're really living themselves up to all of the stereotypes.
Right, of the old times.
They're really putting themselves in the position of, you know, trying to just foment hate and division in this country, as if we don't have enough of that already.
Good grief. I mean, why do we need all these old hatreds? I don't get it. And these people, they're just criminal and heinous in their thoughts. The Al-Nafo Sharptons and the Jesse Jerksons. It's ridiculous.
And you have to imagine, I mean, when you have people saying, oh, we're declaring war on white people, and this time we're going to take it to the suburbs and burn their houses down and do all these things. You have to know that it's only a matter of time before some poor little twerp, you know, scared to death and shaking in his boots, shoots one of these guys out of sheer terror just because of all the hyperbole, if nothing else.
Right.
And the whole thing's going to set off like a powder keg.
Oh, my gosh. That's just ridiculous. So what are the authorities doing? Did they have to squelch a few things or no?
Nothing. I read a report this morning in L.A. Or Oakland where they descended on one of the highways, the connectors, and they trapped a bunch of motorists and the cops just left.
Wow.
But, you know,
incredible.
I think also when you look at the character of a number of these people and the crap they're spouting, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a reason to riot. They're looking for an excuse.
Yep.
They're just looking for an excuse to act out violently, as if that somehow justifies their idiocy.
Yeah, I don't understand it. They have got to be on the low information end of the scale. It's sad.
It really is sad, and it's, I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
So has anybody heard anything? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, again, and you don't see this reaction to, you know, the shooting deaths and the things going on in Chicago. You don't see violent reaction when it's black-on-black crime or black-on-white crime, for that matter. And it's just... You know, I just shake my head because it, to me, seems to be inevitable. And it's just sad. It's absolutely sad. And it looks like we've got, I believe that's Mr. Bill Strong on the line.
How you doing, Ron, Linda?
Hey, how are you?
Sir.
Oh, we're tired. Got home and had a great weekend and get home, and my buddy Joe, his motorcycle was stolen.
Oh no.
So we call the cops out. They come out and they look. We'll make a report. They go talk to the guy next door that Joe thinks, you know, might have done it. They go over and talk to him. They don't do nothing. Shake his hand. They leave.
Jeez.
I come up there and my wife told me, she says, they robbed Joe's bike. So we got out and we went around the corner where Joe lives and got around there. So I'm going to get out and look around. I got out and started to walk around the front of his yard. I'm like, well, hell, there's a track. So they pulled it right out of the yard, followed it around the road and goes right into the neighbor's yard.
Oh, my gosh.
Call the cops back. They still ain't done nothing.
The what now?
They still haven't done anything. That's ridiculous.
Showed them the tracks and stuff, and they still haven't done anything.
Wow.
But we had a great weekend. Joe's taking it all in stride and everything. I mean, we're hoping we'll find it. We're putting out the word. Got people looking. Go back to the stuff that Ron's talking about. This stuff was so orchestrated, Rob, to serve a purpose.
Sure.
And the purpose is the purpose is to stir up enough trouble to be able to have a reasoning to put in martial law.
You're exactly right. I've been telling you guys before, when all they have been pushing and prodding the white conservative clinging to their Bibles and guns community, trying to get us to rise up, and nobody's taking the bait. So, you know, there's another way. We'll flip the coin and go the other side and see if we can't stir something up there.
It's bizarre.
Now you're watching it. They're going to stir up the amnesty thing, hoping for the same results. That somehow, some way, they're going to get a legitimate reason to bring on martial law. Because they see that, in my eyes, I see that they're seeing it all slip away right before their eyes. They're seeing the scandals come out and expose them. They're seeing people wake up to the agenda they're following and stuff, and they've got to do something fast before it all blows up in their faces.
Well, sure. You look at Obamacare. I mean, his crowning achievement, his magnum opus, and it's falling apart.
Yeah. Why is it his crowning achievement, Ron? He didn't write it.
Oh. Okay, it's the insurance lobby's crowning achievement with the help of Hillary and Mitt Romney and some others.
Yep.
That's another point. Here we have a guy who wants to take credit for certain things, and when something's his fault, well, nothing's his fault, you know. Narcissistic asswipe. And this whole thing is stirring up the blacks over this one deal here. Then should the whites be getting stirred up about all the whites that the blacks are killing? Should the Hispanics and the Asians get stirred up when somebody of a different race kills one of them? Should we all get stirred up every time one of that happens? How come blacks don't get stirred up when a black man kills a black person?
It's stupid. Doesn't make sense.
If they're going to be throwing fits, I figured they'd be in the streets of ghettos of Chicago throwing those fits, because that's where the shootings are going on.
Well, but that's different, see, because those aren't racially motivated. Those are just crimes of circumstance.
Well, I'm still stunned by the fact that somehow George Zimmerman is now turned into a white guy, and whites are responsible.
Well, you know, if we hadn't let all the Hispanics in, then he wouldn't have been there to shoot him, probably.
Well, that kind of, then again, they're right back. Obama's the one letting them in.
Boy. You know, it's really
it's
to the
a
point.
Menagerie. A cluster group, Ron.
Oh, I know.
That's, I guess, the nicest way to say it.
It's a circle jerk.
Yeah.
Okay, we're the ones stuck in the daggum middle. Where's that song at? Stuck in the middle with you.
So have you heard any things in the news about Janet Incompetano, Big Sis, resigning?
Oh, yeah. We knew that when we were at Delaney. That
yeah, but I didn't hear any follow-up.
Only a week's notice she's giving, which is kind of unusual.
So
I still think you've got rats abandoning ship.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like the rats jumping off the damn Titanic. Bernanke's getting ready to leave. And, you know, now there's talk that Larry Summers will be the guy to replace Bernanke.
Oh my
joy.
That's just so ridiculous. Oh, my God. We are so screwed.
And Barbara's saying, you know, they're taken to the streets up in the projects in New Jersey, and it's supposed to be a 7-day heat wave. She's probably going to cook their brains. I think they're already insane, my dear Barbara.
Well, I can say that there's not going to be much of that around here.
The EBT crack cards have kept everyone busy.
Wow.
Frying their brain cells. You know, I think it's the inevitable collapse. And you know, even without the idiots, you know, trying to steer us towards a global order and all this junk, it's going to collapse under its own damn weight, because it's just too cumbersome. It's too large, and it's
we've
insanity.
Got to, the giant behemoth of a government.
Yes. Yeah. And it consumes everything in its wake. And, of course, I got my latest love letters from the medical oversight committee known as the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, God. More blue gloves.
And my, of course, yeah. No, I don't think they're going to use a glove. I think they use one of those things with a camera on the end of it. I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
You know, my lovely California attorney is, of course, worthless as anything. So, oh, well, it is
oh,
what
let
it
me
is.
Let me give you a little cheering up, Ron. As I left Delaney today, I talked with the manager at the front. He's all excited about that we were there, and he's all excited about that we might come back. And I asked him a question. I said, would it be a possibility to rent the entire place? And he said, he can't do anything to the first of the year because that's when the new thing starts for there. And but then he said he could shut down everything at the place and give us the entire place except for the beach area.
That would be
That'd
cool.
That'd be pretty fun.
I think so too. And I don't have a problem with the beach area. Let them go swim. But,
sure.
We could actually look up some bands, and we got time here, and we can get some other people in here and stuff, and we could really make this a big happening. But it's going to take us all pulling together and doing some planning, Ron. And
absolutely.
You are now the head planner.
Great. Well, I have a great woman.
If you tell me what you want, I'll help you get it.
I have a great woman behind me who has a lot of experience being an event coordinator.
Uh-huh.
She's actually got a concert going on next month at her dealership with Steppenwolf and Mother's Finest and then some local gal that was in professional wrestling, too. So, I mean, you know, she'll probably have a crowd of 6,000 or 7,000 people up.
So, did I let everybody know that we did have somebody there this weekend if we needed to defend?
I'm sorry?
Our friend Joe, I don't know what degree of a black belt, but Joe's not, he's our defense.
There you go. Wow, Linda, you've got a lot of background going there, I think.
I know. It's these overhead PSA, whatever, talking.
Guys, I got Gary here and I got Pat here. We're going to drop off, James here, we're just going to drop off and do some listening. But we had such an amazing time with you all. We love it.
Yes.
We love it every year, and we hate to see you go. Almost makes me cry.
I know.
And
I know. It's crazy.
And I'll be writing about this, and we're going to be talking. We'll be around here. We'll be talking about this till next year, and some even longer. Love you guys, and I'll be keep on listening and keep it up.
Okay, thanks, Bill. See you tomorrow night on the show.
God bless, Bill. Thanks for calling in.
Bye bye.
Bye. And that was Mr. Bill Strong from Patriot Families. Bill lives with his family and extended family up in Indiana, near Delaney, where we just had our second annual Patriot Families reunion. Would love for anybody else that's listening to plan on attending, and we're going to put together a little more structured, I think, attempt this coming year in 2014, if there is still a United States of America existing. Then, as they say, the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll have Patriot Families Reunion 2014.
That would be awesome. Wow.
So yeah, no idea when you're going to get out of there, Miss Linda.
I'm looking at the flight schedule on this gate number, and it says 7:26 p.m. Denver time. So they're like, what are they?
There's 3 hours. Wow, you got a ways to go.
Yeah, because it's 6:04 here, their time. It's 5:04 San Diego time, so. Yeah, because it's, what, 8, a little after 8 at your place?
Yeah, it's 8:04 my time.
Yeah, so there's a 2-hour difference from Denver to you. So I don't know how much time I have. I guess I got another hour and 20 minutes. Oy.
There you go. So.
But there's a bar over here, so.
There you go. There are those. There's always a little bit of solace there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we lost Miss Barbara. I'm sorry.
Oh, bummer. How long is your show today?
I'm just doing an hour and a half. I was going to do longer, but I don't know. I'm so disgusted with the whole damned mess. You know, I'm ready to just walk away from everything, but I know that I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially
Shelly, where
with,
are you?
You know, I got my grandson over here, passed out in the chair, and Dad's upstairs, and you know, a new grandson on the way, and my wife here.
I mean, the only other place besides Indiana that you could hide would be maybe Belize. I don't know.
Well, you know, and my wife and I had talked at one point in time about maybe going to Panama. But, you know, that's one of those daydream things. First of all, I'd never be able to live with myself to just simply run away. I couldn't do it. This is my country. It's my home.
I know.
And it's worth fighting for. And it's just a damn shame that we have been complacent for so long, and ignorant, I might add. We were ignorant in our complacency. We did not know any better. We should have known better, but we did not know better. That's our own fault. But we are learning.
True. Thank God. Well, I think we had some help. We had some help from the progressives who purposefully divorced us from our founding and our framers and their memory. I mean, that was deliberate. You know that. So we had a lot of help. You know what I mean? It was frog in the pot deal.
No doubt. But, you know, at the same time, we had a lot of people telling us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not like we have now with the Internet, but, you know, you go back and listen to the music of the era, and especially coming out of the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
And the thing is, we didn't pay attention to the lyrics. We were so busy having fun and just enjoying the music that, you know, we didn't pay attention to the words.
Right.
We didn't actually hear the message. You know, I wasn't caught up in the whole drug culture in the 60s. I was born in 65. So, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And, in the 70s, a lot of that music was still very prominent, but it was just music. It had no meaning. There was no message to it, for me at least. But now I listen to it, and I'm like, my God, why didn't I know this?
I know. It's because we're too soon old and too late smart.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at a bunch of little munchkins. It looks like a Bill Strong clone clan here. There's like five or six little babies. They're so cute. And they're on the rug here in the middle of everywhere waiting to go on a plane. They're adorable.
That's
so
awesome.
Super cute.
Hey, you're in Denver.
I mean,
you can pick me up some Marinol. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Did you get to see little Wyatt, Brittany's smallest, the redheaded baby?
Did not see a redheaded baby.
Okay.
I love children. I love kids. They are our future, and they're
this
just such a blessing.
About, I think this one's 9 months old, and it's just the cutest thing you've ever seen, with this red hair, and soft and cute and good natured and dimples and just unbelievable. I mean, we had so much fun with that sweet thing. He's crawling and trying to walk.
Well, that is awesome.
Adorable.
And,
you
know,
he's not real tall. Yeah.
I, you know, last year, the first year that we were at Delaney, I was very impressed with Bill and his family and his extended family And I know that, you know, not everyone would necessarily feel that way. If we just go on appearances, but I'm here to tell you, you're not going to find a more dedicated, devoted group of folks and honest as anything.
I know.
And Brittany is amazing. The girl is sharp as a tack. She's a beautiful girl and obviously has beautiful children. Bill has an amazingly beautiful family. And, you know, I can see the family resemblance with Chad. And just the heart of his family, it humbles me. I'm humbled when I'm around all of you guys. Just your strong commitment and the anger is always there, of course, but at the same time, the humility and the honesty that that we find in that group.
Sure. It's a beautiful thing. I know. They're a great group, I got to tell you. They're dedicated to family, hard work, and honesty, and the country. It's amazing.
And you know, they have an extended family of close friends. It's really like a community.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, that's the America that I grew up with. That's the America that I remember. And that's the America that I want to save.
Yeah, it's the heartland. It really, really is. I mean,
not this garbage that's going on out there, you know, with the division, the Black Panthers, and all this racist crap.
No,
not the big fat cats rolling around in their million-dollar, yachts and everything else. That's not what America's about. And,
you know, I'm kind of muting myself. Hold on. They're really loud right now.
Is that self-mutilation?
Oh, no. That was the TSA's job. The rat. They're such little checka. Like secret police. They make me tired. Anyway, I was going to say, you know, that pavilion that's out there. I noticed in the room where the kitchen was, there's a nice, beautiful American flag in there. Like, if you were to have another meeting, one could do many things with that concert, and one could have a pledge, and one could have a benediction, and then after we have songs, we could have Patriot families doing some speeches. What do you say?
Absolutely. I don't care for the gold-fringed flag on the pole.
I know. We'll cut it off. Get some scissors.
To me, that's defacing our flag, and it's not the
proper
way to display it. But nonetheless, you know, I just everybody there. I really had a good time, and I unfortunately, because of the way we were domiciled, it kind of split us into two groups, and that was unfortunate.
I know.
You know, last year I think with the lodge, the Central Lodge there, everybody kind of gathered at the one place. And, you know, it was, nonetheless, it was still phenomenal. Had a great time. Always enjoy.
Oh, and the food. Oh, food was amazing.
Always enjoy seeing, you know, Bill and Chad and Miss Jolene and the whole crew. And, you know, I had meant to mention, and my dad and I were talking about that, or Hank and I, my stepdad and I were talking about that. I had not seen that many American flags on display in a long time. And I'm not talking about the people from our group. I'm talking about the other folks that were there just camping, you know, the other campers that were out there. You know, so there is definitely a some deep patriotism running through that part of the country and that gathering of people out there. And I saw tags from all over the country. There were people there from, you know, North Carolina.
Good.
In the cabin just down from us. So not there for our group, but just there to hang out.
Sure.
And,
yeah,
you know, I'm watching what's going on in the monetary thing, and it seems that some of the Brinks has been the hardest hit. Their gold vaults are getting wiped out. People are taking delivery of the actual physical gold.
Yep.
Rather than leaving it sit and having a warehouse receipt for where it's stored. And some of them are scratching their heads because gold has gone down, you know, 25% from its highs.
Yep.
And they're standing around scratching their behinds trying to figure out, it doesn't make sense. Well, it only doesn't make sense if you're not paying attention to what's going on.
Sure.
It's fallen apart, whether they want it to or we want it to or not. I don't see this getting rescued anytime soon.
No.
Even if they take everything I own and everything everyone else owns, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I just have to remind myself daily that, you know, truthfully, we don't own anything in this life.
I know. We talked about that.
We truly don't. And if we're true to God, we do not own ourselves.
You're right.
I know I cannot trust my own decisions at times. I make bad ones. I have made bad ones in the past. So, you know, it's kind of like those disclaimers. Kind of like those disclaimers when you're looking at investing and they say past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the financial meltdown, it's crazy. But when you look at it spiritually or scripturally, we're just kind of passing through this anyway, and we're supposed to be good stewards of it all. And
I'm sorry. My grandson fell asleep in the chair, and he just woke up and found a gift. The grilled ham and cheese sandwich he was eating on, and he still got part of it, and he's like, all right.
How cute. Oh.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's good. Yeah, you got a group there, too. Got quite a few.
I would love to get my group out there. My mother wants us all to meet up in Nashville sometime in October, I think. So we'll have to see how to go for that. But, you know, I hope, Linda, that – are you flying into L.A.?
No, I'm going right to San Diego. I'm in Denver, but, yeah, it takes me to San Diego International, which is like 40-minute drive with no traffic, which there won't be by the time I get there.
You hope not, because they were talking about some real issues in Oakland.
Yes, they did. Yeah, no, I'm a good 82 miles south of Los Angeles proper, and Oakland, I'm way south. So as long as the Hispanics ain't rioting from Tijuana, I'm pretty safe.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see that happen. I don't think they relate that closely with George Zimmerman for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
I could be all wet on that, but I'm thinking I'm pretty safe.
Well, maybe because Zimmerman's more fluent in English. I don't know. It could be just a guess. The whole thing is horrible. And you're right. I mean, it's such a circus. And those people like Jackson and Sharpton, I just cannot have enough bad words for the. How low on the totem pole do you have to be to do that? That's despicable.
I mean, it's not possible. It is not possible that they are blind to the damage they are doing to the black community as a whole.
They don't care because they want a job.
And pouring gasoline on the fire, fanning the flames of this hatred to keep it alive, because, you know, I think of the, what was that movie with the caveman when they discovered fire? and they're running around, you know, trying to keep that little ember going, and they're always blowing on it. And that
Odyssey?
Is, I don't know, but I mean, you know, that's how I see Jackson and Sharpton. They've got this little spark, and they're nurturing it, and they've got the tinder in there, and they're trying to coax it into a full-blown damn bonfire. They'll do anything and everything because it elevates them. It puts them at the center of attention. It puts them on the news. And
how do people not see through this?
I don't
know. No matter
know.
What color you are. It's sickening and bizarre.
As a matter of fact, the one time I have seen the dear old the Reverend Al in person was right where you are sitting right now at Denver International freaking Airport. We'd flown out to Denver to visit with my wife's family, and we were leaving. And as we were leaving, he walked by in his, you know, $3,000 seersucker pinstripe suit. And I looked at my mother-in-law and I said, "Well, you didn't say hello to the Reverend." And she said, "What the hell are you talking about?" And I said, "Al Sharpton." She said, "Who in the hell is that?"
Oh, my God. Oh,
she had no idea who Al Sharpton was. No.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. Well, maybe he's not as popular as you think in his own mind.
Well, she doesn't follow much of the politics, so, of course, you know, she didn't know who he was. I'm sure she'd know who Jesse Jackson was, but not Al Sharpton.
Wow. Yeah, they're two peas in the pod, those two. Jiminy.
Well, you know, they're riding on the coattails of a legend in Martin Luther King. And it's a shame what they've done to his dream, his vision.
His vision, his movement, his everything, all his ideology of that and
trying
his spiritual
to stir up. Yeah, trying to stir up violence and hatred is
the antithesis
of what Dr. King did.
Right.
Absolutely.
I know. I guess other people don't pay attention to their own black history. Is that the problem?
Well,
my
and,
God.
You know, it's much the same as, you know, Abraham Lincoln being deified as a demigod.
Yes.
When in fact, the man was a frickin' and a dictator, and he was able to accomplish what Hamilton couldn't get done.
Oh my
God! That
gosh.
Was the creation of a national government,
right.
Deposing or disposing of the federal government, the federation of states that was created under the Constitution.
Right. Wow.
Once, and you look back through our history, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Once that single act was committed, the United States of America, as we knew it to be from the history books, ceased to exist.
Yes.
It was utterly destroyed. Yeah. And, you know, what they called it in that day, the British mercantilism, is what we would call today fascism.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Hasn't it worked fabulously well? I mean, let's look at what it has brought us. And, you know, it cracks me up that people want to point the finger of blame at Republicans. And the Democrats want to blame the Republicans, and the Republicans want to blame the Democrats.
What a game.
You know, it was the Whig Party that started this mess. And if you go, where did they get the Whig idea from? That is an old parliamentary party from England. But it really, it doesn't come down to, you know, one platform or the other.
Right.
It comes down to they have special interest ideologies that they want to promote, and they do so under the shield of a D or an R. Because we're so damned inane that we believe the R or the D. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, you, of course, there's one or two bad apples in there, but that doesn't mean all of them are bad.
Right. Am I on candid camera?
I mean, it's just, it's flipping mind-numbing. And, you know, whatever you do, don't look at the sum total of all the acts and legislation and bureaucracy that's been created. It's like looking at the Social Security fiasco, the Ponzi scheme that is Social Security, because it was such a great idea. I'm with the Supreme Court. You know, time will tell the wisdom of our decision here today. I think that jury has come back with a verdict, Your Honors. You suck.
Yeah.
You had no wisdom. Your wisdom was misplaced. And we've misplaced common sense with feel-good bullcrap.
Sure.
Free stuff.
Well, I think it went, like you say, when you look at the implementation of these programs, they didn't come all at once. They were in different decades. But they still progressed on and marched forward with them. They had the Social Security, then they got Medicare, then they got, you know, everything else they wanted. They got income tax, they got better reserve, you know, incremental, EPA, incremental.
Absolutely.
I'm muting myself.
Not working. But that's okay. Ah, man, I apologize for the poor show tonight because I just don't have a lot in the tank right now. I'm pulled 15 million ways, and I don't know that I can even be mad.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, all you can do is do what you're doing and try to wake others up and see where this shakes out, because I don't know what's going to happen with it. And we know the economics is bad. So just
Absolutely.
Protect your family. Yeah. And when you were talking about they've been trying to get the whites to go nuts, or the Tea Party to go nuts. But I mean, even if somebody starts trouble in one neighborhood or another, none of us are going to go out in the street. I mean, you know,
nope.
We're going to defend our homes, but we're not going to partake in that mess.
Absolutely. And all they're going to do is stir up. And the thing is that truly innocent people are going to end up getting hurt out of this.
I know.
And that's the real tragedy.
It is.
Is that truly innocent people who have no bias and no involvement one way or the other, you know, some poor guy or his family trying to go from point A to point B.
Sure.
And they're the ones that are going to get caught up in this. You know, I have no remorse for the idiots that want to go out there and stir up trouble, you know, getting hurt or getting their asses shot. I'm just not going to cry for them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because they're making choices. They don't have to do it. You know, they're carrying it out. So.
And again, you know, these riots, it's just so much garbage. You know, I guarantee you that 90% of these people don't give two spits about Trayvon Martin or anybody else for that matter, you know?
True.
What they care about is they've got an excuse to go out and act like fools. And to go out and do what's in their heart, which is steal from people and be violent and act like the animals that they are. Whether they're black, white, Hispanic, I don't really care. All stripes of, you know, all races of people that look for opportunities to run with the mob and act out and be violent and act like idiots.
Yep, we see it every day.
Yeah, we got a bunch of them in D.C. I don't know. They dress up in suits and stand behind microphones, you know?
Oh, my God. And they, very expensive suits make me tired.
They're the mid-level thieves. You know, they're the white-collar thieves.
Yeah. You're right.
They, They steal your wealth and your freedom with a pen.
It's awful. I know. Yeah, well, at the direction of others above them.
Well, certainly. And that's why I said they're the white collar. You know, they're not the upper tier.
And then there's that real pawn scum that goes out there and you know, foments the violence like Jesse and Al. You know, it's unbelievable. I can't even understand why. I just can't understand that kind of sociopathness. I don't.
Well, and if you stop and think about it, what else would they do? What else would Al Sharpton do?
They would be flipping burgers at McDonald's saying, do you want fries with that order? Oh, my God.
Right.
That's about all they got.
Yeah, the man is, you know, granted, he did do a few appearances on one of my favorite sitcoms ever, which was Boston Legal. And, he came in and did this, you know, tug at your heartstrings speech in the courtroom about a racial issue and then turned and walked out, and the guy got acquitted. But, I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the other side of that also, I think, needs to be addressed. The fact that our judicial system is being manipulated by mob rule.
Oh, my God. And the media. Jeez. Unbelievable. I can't believe these people. They shouldn't even be allowed to speak. They're so dumb.
Because, of course, you go back and you see the first thing was, oh, well, they didn't even arrest him. They better arrest this MF-er or we're going to riot. And then they better charge him with something or we're going to riot.
Yep.
And they better take him to trial or we're going to do this and we're going to do that.
Oh. And they better convict him or we're going to, yeah, I see.
Right. And, you know... And now comes, of course, the civil trial, just like what happened with O.J.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I don't know if they can do it. I think there might be some glitch in that because it was self-defense, but I don't know.
Well, it's a civil trial, you know.
I know.
O.J. got hammered even. They didn't prove that he killed Goldman.
I know. Nicole.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think that Zimmerman has millions of dollars to put out for, you know, some civil settlement. And for that matter, well, I'm not going to say that. That would be seen as racist, I'm sure. I mean, how much is the life of a black teenager worth these days? Or a white one?
Oh, my God.
You know?
I know.
10 million,
horrible.
20 million, 60 million. Maybe we could ask the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the Human Resources, you know, how much you get for one of those birth certificates? What's the net value on that?
Yeah. What are those units? That's what they call us now, you know, units. That's what it's going to be in the medical division. In the Obamacare units. Did you know that?
Okay,
what happened was, the only reason I knew is because there was this neurosurgeon that called into Mark Levin's show a few months back, and he was talking, and this dang thing. Hang on. God, I can't hear myself. Can you hear over her?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. So this neurosurgeon tells Mark Levin that how this is going to work, that they are told by these bureaucrats or technocrats what they are allowed to give to whomever, and it's done on age, and they go, it's depicted by the age of the unit. This is what the language is. This is what these doctors were told. And this was like probably a couple years ago. Is that disgusting or what? But it falls in line with what you were talking about the other day.
Sure.
You know,
well, I'm here to tell you right now. You know, after talking with others in the health professional industry, doctors and physicians assistants and others, it's going to destroy the healthcare industry as we know
it. Yep. Of course. Huge. I agree. Doctors are leaving. Doctors are trying to hide from it. I know.
One of my customers today, a general practitioner, okay, a family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much they make on average now?
I don't know.
About $120,000 a year after it's all said and done. A radiologist, you know how much they make? A good radiologist, between $400,000 and $500,000 a year.
Good grief. How does that work?
Well, that's where everybody's going in the fields. They're going into technical specialties, radiologists, anesthesiologists, physician's assistant, RN,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they can spend 4 years in school and get out and
right.
get a job. But what's happening to all the doctors? Where are you going to get physicians from? Just because of the malpractice insurance they have to carry. And, you know, I know Doc mm-hmm. was in the chat the other night, and he said, you know, most of his business is Medicare and Medicaid patients. And the standard rate right now, they're paying like 30 cents on the dollar.
Oh, my God.
You know, so if you've got that, and we wonder why, and they talk about this fraud and abuse, right, in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, if a doctor has an honest $1,000 bill, it's honestly $1,000, and he's going to get paid 30 cents on the dollar, well, of course he's going to find a way to inflate that so that he can get what his actual services, what he should get paid.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it's scary. It's sad that they've pushed this down. But you don't think it's going to go completely belly up and people will have a real reason to go rioting?
Well, and look, the insurance companies have done the same thing. I've said it before. You go back to that thing in 73 when Nixon
mm-hmm.
passed that HMO crap, okay? And,
yep.
And the whole thing is sold to the public as you're going to have more choices. Bullshit.
Yeah.
What
Not
they
at
did
all.
Was they set up, they have the insurance companies have set up a union, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and they now dictate to the doctors what percentage of your bill we're going to pay.
Jesus.
Okay, the patient's on the hook for 20%. You don't get to negotiate with your doctor to pay him 30 cents on the dollar for your 20%. You don't get to negotiate with the insurance company on your deductible to pay them 20 cents on the dollar. But that's exactly
right.
What they turn around and put pressure on the doctor. And, you know, the answer is always going to be the same. Well, if you don't like it, sue us. Right?
Sure.
And, of course, if the doctor's not getting paid, he doesn't have the money to sue you in the first place.
Right.
And you're a huge insurance company, and you've got a whole team of attorneys at your disposal.
Wow.
So, that whole HMO PPO thing did nothing but sell our doctors, our medical system into servitude.
Sure.
And they are owned and dictated to by the insurance companies.
And you've seen the results. I think it was on this morning's news. They were talking about because of even though the employer mandate's not kicking in, all the restaurant chains are cutting their people's hours a year early because they don't want to wait till the last minute.
Oh, sure. They're cutting everybody to 29 hours. And what they've done, you know, now they've got even more time. And we see this uptick in the jobs report, 362,000 new jobs. Well, but you've got to go back and look at the real figures. When you look at
mm-hmm.
the number of full-time jobs, right?
Right.
The number of full-time employees has been
uh-huh.
cut in half.
Sure.
And now the number of part-time employees or part-time positions has doubled. Well, it doesn't take
sure.
a genius to figure out why.
Oh, I know. And it's going to get worse because all the industries are going to follow suit. It's not just going to be the service crowd like the hotels and the bars.
Look,
you know.
The Obama administration says it, and it happens. The new full-time employment is going to be 30 hours a week.
Oh, my God.
Right? So if you've got a job at 30 hours a week, you're full-time.
Oh, my gosh.
Meanwhile, the poverty line, is getting higher and higher.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's what they
and
want.
Hours, employee hours, available hours are going lower and lower, and wages are going lower. Meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
you see, you know, commodities are spiking. You've got gasoline on the rise. Crude oil is going
mm-hmm.
up. You're going to have $4 a gallon gas very soon.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And everyone's telling you, oh, don't buy gold and silver. That's just silliness. Well, I agree to some extent. I mean, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But you, by God, better be looking at being able to have a garden, stacking up or storing up some kind of storable food for yourselves and your family, having a water supply and an escape plan.
Yep. Well, that's what Mr. Strong told me this weekend. He's got one. He's got one. He showed me on a map where it is. He did. Yep. He's understanding a lot of these things, and he understands about growing the food, knowing how to hunt and fish, knowing where to be, how close to water you need to be, all of it. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So,
I know I've got enough to sustain myself for a while until I see what my best options are.
Right. Yeah,
you
know what I think? What I see is happening right now is this is a day-to-day operation for all of us. You know, things change so rapidly. You know what I mean? We got to start thinking on our feet real quick.
Absolutely.
And be prepared. So I'm going to let you go so I can go take care of business and get in line because I think I got 40 minutes for the. Thank you
Fantastic.
So much. And it was
Good
it
luck.
Was great to see everybody. And yeah, we'll talk soon, and I'll put the show on tomorrow if I get enough sleep tonight.
You didn't miss much. Tonight was kind of flat, I think, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I'll get cranked up throughout the week. You can rest assured of that.
Okay. All right. Take care. God
bless.
God bless.
Thanks for calling in, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, and that was Miss Linda Sills from California. And again, I apologize, guys. I know the show is pretty flat tonight. You know, excuses are like backsides. Everybody's got one, and none of them smell good. But got a lot on my mind and a lot on my plate today. And just, you know, I'm to the point that I can't even be angry. I can't even be my normal angry self. And you're right about that, Bill, thinking out of the box. You're absolutely right. And that's what I'm looking at. You know, what's my next move? What direction do I need to step? Because the next few moves, the next few weeks may determine a whole lot about the direction that my life goes in the next 6 to 8 months to a year. So it just all depends on how things pan out. But I'm going to leave you guys with a song. And it was great seeing everybody. Really enjoyed it. I wish we would have had more time to spend with all of our family members up at Delaney. But that's all right. We're going to get it together. And by this time next year, we're going to have one heck of a shindig. And I'm going to take a week's vacation, if it's possible, and get up there. And we're just going to have a good time. So I'm going to leave you with, if I can find it, a new song. It's not a new song per se, but new to my repertoire, if I can locate it here. And nope, I guess it is not in here yet, but that's all right. I'll leave you with a different one and one of my favorites. So God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. Be well.
deeper than the oceans and the seas. And your love now is higher than the mountains over me. Since I've waited for so long just to see your face. No, I can't wait, Lord. I can't wait for the day when I see the eastern skies break open. That's when I know it's my God coming back for me, yeah. And all the angels in heaven know they're gonna sing. Glory, glory to the risen King. I've heard the stories of all your glory now, and my home there will be. Still my ears have not heard